Good stuff. Is that good? Hey, good morning again. Right, I haven't said good morning yet, have I? Okay, well, good morning for the first time then. How are we doing? Ready to rock and roll? Gosh, there's that word again. I wanted to get... Okay, I either got to find a verse for that or stop saying it, right? Maybe it's in the beginning of Matthew. Jesus rolled the stone away. Is that close? Work with me here. Okay, we're back in John this morning. We skipped a week. We were in John. Then we skipped a week. And we started a very tough, I got to tell you, tough teaching. And so we started it off last time. We're going to continue that. It was actually supposed to be, I think, originally a two-part series anyway. We're in John 8, looking at verses 31 through 41. We'll finish this part of it up this morning. This is, I mean, really, honestly, this is the kind of teaching that empties the seats, okay? I don't particularly fear that, okay? I think God brings us tough teaching for that very purpose. It thins the herd, right? People that don't really believe walk away, okay? And the ones that love Jesus, the ones that believe Jesus, the ones that have been called, loved, saved, they stick around. They don't walk away. We've been seeing that in John through this whole gospel, right? Jesus keeps preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching and preaching and teaching, and people are walking away in droves, okay? And so even though we know in the purpose of John's gospel is that Jesus wasn't trying to draw men to himself, that he was going to the cross, because ultimately their salvation was way more important than following Jesus around for 3 years, okay? And so Jesus is going to the cross. He's a few months away from it in our passage here in John 8. And so when we started chapter 8, we said that verse 12 was essentially our key verse, okay? And we're going to look at that in just a minute. But I want to pray first for this morning, and then we'll go into the Word of God, and we'll look and see what God wants to say to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. And first and foremost, just talking about this morning, we really want to appeal to the Holy Spirit's work in us this morning. It's not only in the hearing, okay, but in the teaching. Father God, please, Holy Spirit, be alive in the teaching this morning. Please be the words of our Father and glorify the Son through the teaching. Don't let them be the words of man. And so as we hear and we receive that word, Father God, let that build confidence in the body, Lord, that what you have said is the truth and the absolute truth, and that this truth will absolutely make us free. And so this morning we pray, Father, just for your glory to be seen, just for you, Jesus, to be lifted up, exalted above all things in our life, that we may love you and learn to love you, and that we may grow in our faith each and every day. We thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, verse 12 in chapter 8 is the pinnacle verse, right? It's really the whole theme for chapter 8, if you've ever read through it. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Okay? Very important. So Jesus has already told us in chapter 3 that men will not come into the light. Okay? They hate the light. The more Jesus reveals the truth, the more that they deny everything that Jesus brings. And you notice, if you've ever read through the gospel, just kind of reviewing through it, Jesus is going to say the same thing over and over and over and over. I'm the Son of God. I have been sent from the Father. I only speak what the Father speaks. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I am the Son of God. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Okay? So he says the same thing over and over, and that people just deny, 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 deny. That's all we've seen. But Jesus says this is the reason they deny. He told us back in chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, he says this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Okay? Man, that's why men don't come to the light. You ever gone out there in the world and talked to people about Jesus? They love their darkness, they hate the light, and they don't want to be exposed. They don't want their stuff to come out. I think I said a couple weeks ago, it's a very dirty thing to come out and to come to salvation. It really is. When you come to salvation, the Holy Spirit's working on you, and you come out, you know that everything that you are is going to be laid bare. And so people don't want to do that. And so we have to ask this question because it's been kind of pressing against us, and it's going to come to the forefront in the verses we're looking at today. We have to ask that question is why? Why do people refuse to come out of the darkness? Well, one reason is they love the darkness. Jesus says it plainly. They love their sin. Okay? People say, oh, wait, I don't really love my sin. No, you love your sin. Okay? I believe Jesus with all my heart, my soul, my body, and my mind, and there's some sin that I love. Okay? I don't want to do it. I don't want to love it. But there's just some things that we just need to put down. And so that's true with the unbelieving as well, right? They refuse because they love their sin. They do not want to come into the light. They do not want to be exposed. But there's another reason that men will not come into the light. And we haven't talked about this much, but it's kind of in our face today. And we're going to have to deal with it. And so we're going to talk about it in this text. Verses 31 through 41, Jesus is going to reveal that Satan himself blinds his children so they cannot see the light. Now notice I said Satan blinds his children. Because that's where Jesus is going in this text. Okay? The children of Satan. Well, who are those? Everyone who is not a child of God. There's only two families on earth. Okay? And so this is where it gets tough. You're like, oh, wait a minute. You can't tell. You mean if I'm not a believer, then I'm a child? Yes. Scripture does not play around with this. Okay? There's no universal fatherhood thing. I don't know where this came up. Some believe it came out a couple hundred years ago when liberal theology started busting into the scene. And there's this whole, you've heard it said before, well, we're all children of God. No, we aren't. And Scripture makes it very clear. We are not all children of God. There is no universal fatherhood. We are not all brothers and sisters. Okay? And so this is really important. This has probably been propagated by Satan himself the most. Because he really wants people that aren't sons and daughters to think they're sons and daughters. He's called the deceiver, the liar. It wouldn't be very deceiving if he just came out and told you, hey, you belong to me, you're my son. Okay? If he pointed you to the path that said this path goes to hell, that wouldn't be very deceiving, now would it? But Satan has the sign that says, this path is the path to heaven. Come on in. Because he's deceitful. Because he's a liar. Because Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. And so he's going to convince you, if you're his child, that you are a child of God. But believe me, these two families are separate. I'll show you from the text here as we get going. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He is the great imitator. That's all he's done. He's a counterfeit God. And he's been doing that since the beginning. He's going to do it again by the time we get to Revelation. That's all he does. He counterfeits Christ, he counterfeits God the Father, and he even counterfeits the Holy Spirit. And so in our lives, okay, he's going to counterfeit himself as an angel of light because he wants you who do not believe to believe you believe. He loves it. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this world, I put Satan in brackets for you so you understand who he's talking about, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Look at verse 38 in our passage. John 8:38, Jesus says, I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your Father. Okay? No bones about it. No bones about it. Verse 41, you are doing the deeds of your Father, Jesus says, talking to these Jewish leaders. Now, these were religious leaders. These guys, believe me, they'd make us look silly in religious practice. They never missed church. They never not read their Bibles. They never, I mean, they did it all. Bam. And Jesus says, your Father is Satan. Do you see it? They're deceived, right? Look at verse 41 again. He says, you are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Okay? Jesus, who is the creator of the universe, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, tells them that Satan is their father. And what do they respond with? God is our father. Are they deceived? Absolutely. Because Satan wants these guys to believe that they belong to God. Because as long as they believe they belong to God, but they don't actually belong to God, then it's a perfect situation, right? And so they're deceived. They believe the lie. See, if people believe that God is already their Father, then they won't seek the truth. They won't come into the light. Oh, I already belong. I hear it all the time. I can guarantee you right now, statistically speaking, I can knock on every door in Rio Vista, and at least 95% of the people that I knock on their door will tell me that they believe God. None of them attend any congregation. None of them hang out or fellowship with any other Christians. None of them read His Word. None of them even have a clue what belief means, but they'll tell me they believe God. And Satan loves it. Ah, you're good. You believe God. That's good. You don't got to hang out with His people. You don't got to read His Word. All you have to do is just believe. Okay? So Satan loves that situation, right? Because they believe they're following the light. Look at verse 44. Most powerful statement here. Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus says, Satan speaks from his own nature. Therefore, children of Satan speak from their nature. They do the things of their father's nature. Okay? That's why if you're a believer in Christ, you get a new nature and you have your father's nature. It's the difference. Remember, Jesus told the disciples back in Matthew, listen to this. I didn't put it up on the board, but listen to what the disciples come to Jesus, right? And they said, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside waiting for you. Listen to what Jesus says. For those of you that don't believe, we have two families. Because I know some of you are saying, well, those guys were particularly evil, so Satan was their father, but we live in somewhere neutral land, and then there's other people that belong to God that are His children. No. God says there's only two families. You either are in the line of Satan or you are in the line of Christ. Listen to what Jesus says. While He was still speaking to the crowds, behold, His mother and brothers were standing outside. Now, listen to this. It was His real mother and His real brothers. Okay? Physical, blood, Mary. Seeking to speak to Him, and someone said to Him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling Him and said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out His hand towards His disciples, He said, behold, my mother and brothers. In other words, He said, who are my mothers and brothers? And then He looked at His disciples that are sitting there, and He said, behold, my mothers and brothers. Listen to what He said. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, my sister, or my mother. Pretty powerful, huh? No universal fatherhood here. He says that real brothers and sisters, right, they do the will of their father. False children do the will of their father. Satan, that's really what he's saying. So verse 30 in our passage, and we started this last time we talked about this. Verse 30 says, and Jesus spoke these things, and many came to believe in Him. So Jesus gives them the truth of real belief, right? We talked about this last time, verse 30. John says, Jesus spoke these things and many came to believe in Him. Then verse 31, he says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed, right? Apparently, they heard Jesus speak and some people began to believe. And as we saw last week, they didn't believe for very long. Because Jesus is going to give the test here, right? You say, oh, yeah, you guys believe? Well, here, let me tell you what true disciples are. Let me tell you what true followers of me look like so that you know. Very important, right? That's what we want to know here today. How do I know that I'm a true disciple of Christ? How do I know that I'm a child of God and not a child of Satan? I mean, that's the bottom line. I've spent my whole life and career wanting to know that. How do I know the difference? Right? I wasn't satisfied early on even with sitting around going, oh, okay, well, I guess I am because I want to know inside. It's like I say all the time. I don't want to come here and play church. I don't want to fake this. I don't want to act like Christians or whatever that is. I want to know that I am. Okay? Because if this is all a lie, if this is something made up, if this is Sean manufacturing his own deal, then why am I wasting my time every Sunday doing this? Right? If it's not true, if there's no Christ, if there's no salvation, then this is, Paul even said it, we're to be pitied because we just wasted whatever years we had left. So I always want to know. And so that's why I bring this to your attention. Verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, so Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Okay? Here's the requirements. Right? He reveals the test, the true test of saving faith to those who had believed. Right? And as I said last time, there are three marks that Jesus reveals to these Jews that identify those who have true saving faith, those that are true disciples. First, there is the internal confirmation, right? If you continue in my word. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, continuing in his word. There is also the internal recognition, right? That you will know the truth. And there is the external actualization, and that's that the truth will make you free. We're going to look at the last two. Remember, we already looked at the first one. That internal confirmation that Jesus says, if you continue in my word, that you are truly disciples of mine. Do we have a love and a craving for God's word? Do we want to learn God's word? Do we want to study his word? Do we want to share it with everyone else? Do we have a desire, okay? Do we trust it, all of it, not just the parts we like? Do I follow it? And do I desire to follow it without regretting it? John says, this is how we know love God. We love God because his commandments are not burdensome. That's a big statement. You get Christians what? Grumble. I know God says don't do that, but you know. Man, that was a confirmation for me. Do I grumble against what God says? Man, there's sometimes I teach classes, not here, thank God, not yet. I'll go down the verses, people go, well, that's what you say it says. 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 I'm like, my gosh. Just read it. Do I follow and desire, right? So that's what we said last time. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples. That's the first test. Do you continue in his word? Because the truth is, real live Christians will never quit. They'll never stop. They may slow down. They may even crawl. But they'll never quit. Okay? Second test, here it is. There is an internal recognition. Jesus says, not only will true disciples abide in my word, but they will also know the truth. Well, how do we do that, Sean? How do we know the truth? This is internal, okay? A regenerate believer will inherently believe that everything that Jesus says in his word is the truth. That's the bottom line. Man, if you get to the Bible and you read a verse, maybe you don't understand it. We're not talking about understanding, okay? Because that's the first emails I get. Sean, well, there are some things that I just don't understand. What about the clay feet and the bronze head? We're not talking about understanding. We're talking about knowing it is the truth. Let me tell you what the truth does for you. I have no idea how thermodynamics works. I have no idea how the universe exactly is fitted all together. I have no idea. I couldn't even begin to tell you. But I can tell you this, God created it all. Period. From beginning to end. He's responsible for it all. Okay? I don't know how photosynthesis works. I have no idea. But I know God created the flowers. I know He created the sky. I know He created every star. It says that He took His finger and He put all the stars in place and then He named them. And then He breathed out the universe in that fast. Okay? That's truth. And I accept it and believe it without reservation. That's knowing the truth. This particular instance in John, Jesus wants these Jews to know the truth about what? He wants them to know the truth that they're captive to Satan. That's what He wants to know, right? Truth about your sin. Because that's a test too. Do you believe God about you? That's really the test. Do you believe God about you? Right? There's just some things that unbelieving world will not accept. I guarantee you, if you go out there and you talk to people about Jesus Christ, an unbelieving world will not believe the truth that they are captives to Satan. There's some of you in here right now that are not believers. And as soon as I said that you're in Satan's family and not in God's family, the first thing that popped into your head is, no, I'm not. I know it. It's just natural. I'm not in Satan's family. Second thing that unbelievers hate to hear is they're destitute of any goodness. I love that. God says that you're not a good person. That's not true. Well, just last week, I made a quilt for some lady at the convalescent hospital. God doesn't say you can't do good things. He just says you have no goodness in yourself. And the last thing that unbelievers don't like to hear all the time, and we're seeing it in the text, they don't like to hear they're sinners. You ever try to tell an unbeliever they're sinners? Oh my gosh. Right? I'll say, you know what? God says that we're all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God, that we cannot be saved on our own. I'm not a sinner. Have you ever told a lie? Yes. Well, what do you call that? Being human. You ever stole anything? Nope. Never stole anything. Never took anything from the office that the office paid for and you didn't? Well, yeah, but I worked there, you know, and right? They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Well, listen to what Jesus says, right? People do not love, I'm telling you, unbelieving world, they don't want to hear about that they have no freedom. They don't want to hear about they have no goodness, and they certainly don't want to hear about they have sin. But this is the truth. This is the internal truth that we have to know. This is what I love about being a Christian. This is what I love about following Jesus, because I can admit to everyone freely that, hey, I'm a sinner, baby. That's the bottom line. Every day. Never a day go. In fact, I would venture to say that by the time I take my first breath because I'm breathing the whole time. Okay, my first breath with my eyes open, probably some kind of sin has entered my heart or my mind. But I'm free. I don't have to worry about it anymore. It can't kill me no more. Okay? And so that's what Jesus gets here, right? Listen to verse 33. And it says, they answered Him. These are the Jews. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. Don't you love that? What I say, they don't want to hear about they got no freedom. They said, we've never been enslaved to anyone. And Jesus answered them, right? Truly, truly, I say to you that everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Evidently, these Jews have very short memories, right? Because they had been in bondage to Egypt, Assyria, Babylon. I read actually in Judges 12 times God sent another country in to capture them and take them into captivity. 12 times. Right? Persia and Greece. And now they were being enslaved by Rome. Rome right then. They were enslaved by Rome right then. And they're going, we've never been slaves to anyone. But that's the way it is on the street, right? When I go talk to people about Christ, you know, Christ says that you are a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to sin. I can do whatever I want. In fact, I was just getting ready to go into that bar, pick up a chick and drink some beer and, you know, whatever. I'm not a slave. But captivity is not the slavery that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about the spiritual slavery, right? The sin. See, Jesus could speak of their sin, Because in the same breath, they're telling Jesus, right, that they are going to kill him. They're going, we believe God, we love God, but we're going to kill you. And so Jesus says, it doesn't make any sense. You guys talk about freedom. You talk about you're not slaves to sin. Look at verse 37. He says, I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen my Father with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father, Jesus says. Jesus says, you can't say you love me and deny your own sin in the same breath. And so for Christians, if you're a believer in here today, if you're saved, the first test is, do I continue in his word? The second test is, do you agree with God about your sin? That's the truth. I think the word in the original language, homologeo, means literally agree with God. When you pray, you agree. Yes, God, when you judge me, you are right. You are right. And so we agree with him about our sin. These Pharisees, they said they loved God, but they weren't agreeing with them. Right, they told him, hey, we're going to kill you. And then Jesus says, that's a sin. And they're like, no, it's not. You guys say you believe God, but you're going to kill me? My word has no place in you, he says. If you deny that you have sin in your life, refuse to acknowledge your sinfulness, this is evidence that you are not a believer. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that funny? Children of Satan don't admit they sin, and children of God do admit they sin. I think it'd be the other way around. Oh, yeah, me and the devil, man, we get on our motorcycle. But Jesus says, my word has no place in you. Okay? True disciples recognize their sin, confess it, and flee from it. Again, this is an internal recognition that God says is true. No one can tell you from the outside that you believe God about your sin. Now, there are sins on the outside, but generally speaking, I can't look at you. You can't come into my office, and I can't examine you like some surgeon with a X-ray machine and go, oh, yeah, I can see you've been agreeing with God about your sin. I can't. It's something inside. Can't you see this? Can't you see the preciousness of this? I want to know whether I really believe or not. I want to know whether I really love God or not. I'm not interested in playing church. I'm not interested in goofing around. I want to know inside. God, how do I know inside? How do I know this is true? I want to know this is true so I can walk with you, so I can love you, so I can be with you. And he says, look, if you continue in my word, are you hungry? Are you continuing in my word? Do you agree with me about your condition? Because I can't help you if you don't agree with me. If a doctor tells you, look, man, you've got cancer of the liver, you can't walk out of the office and go, I don't believe him. Okay? You're going to die. And so God says, look, I want you to agree with me. That's what Jesus is saying here. I want you to agree with me about your sin. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Woo! You guys read that one? These verses used to haunt me, boy, especially when I read 1 John. Look at 1 John 3:6. It says, no one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Okay? I'm a Christian for 3 years. I'm starting to go through 1 John because I want to study it. I get to this verse right here. It says, no one who abides in him sins. I'm thinking, my gosh, I could add them up right now, and it's only been like an hour. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. So, man, I got out the language books. I was looking at every word. I was doing word studies, sentence structure. I was reading even the old papyrus, you know, just to make sure, right? And you know what it really says? Listen to what this verse really says. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. It says exactly what it says. And so for me, I was beside myself because I'm thinking, I'm a Christian. I love you, Jesus, with all my heart. And then, oh my gosh, it's saying if I sin, then I don't belong to you. no one who abides in him sins. I'm thinking, man, what does that mean? I didn't believe it, right? And then you get to 1 John 3:8, and it says, the one who practices sin is of the devil. Wait a minute, man. So let's look at this verse real quick. This is interesting. Jesus says in verse 34, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. This word commits, okay? Interesting word, okay? Poieo means to do or to make, okay? It's the same word, okay, that John uses in 1 John for practices. In fact, that's what the word means, practices. You'll notice commits in verse 34 is in the present tense. It means keeps on committing, keeps on practicing. See, you can either practice righteousness or you can practice sinfulness. Okay? Does it say that Christians will not sin? No, that's not what it's saying at all. What it's saying is Christians do sin. But what John's saying is that real live believers of God, believers of Jesus, they can't continue in their sin for very long. Okay? Man, sometimes we push hard, right? We'll go for a while. Ooh, and all the time our conscience is bang, 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 bang. Okay? This is how you know you're a believer. Unbelieving world never gets convicted about their sin. Trust me. The dude lying at the bar on Friday night, you think he cares whether he lied to everybody in the room? No, he don't care. Okay? So it's whoever practices, whoever keeps on committing. They'll go for a while. Okay? And if you're asking that question right now, well, how far can you go, Sean? You're probably not asking the right question. Okay? Because real believers don't ask how far they can go. Well, how many days exactly could you do this in and still be okay with God? Come on, man. He says, whoever practices, Jesus says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Whatever masters you. True disciples believe Jesus about their sin and they confess it. This is the internal recognition. You might be able to push against God for a while in your sin, but the whole point that it's bothering you, that means that you have a spirit. That means you're alive. I always tell people, they go, how do I know I'm a believer? How do I know I'm saved? Are you doing battle with the Holy Spirit? Then you're saved. Okay? If you're flatlined in your life and you're just walking and you're not battling and you don't really care about God's word and you don't really care about your sin, I got bad news for you, okay? You need a checkup from the neck up, or you need them little paddles, right? Clear? Because there's no life, no life in you, no life in you. Jesus says this is internal recognition, right? You agree. These Jewish leaders, they didn't have that. They didn't have any conviction. They had no internal compass. There's nothing guiding them. They were just, no, we've never been slaves. No, we're not sinners. No, Satan isn't our father. Believers are not free from sin, but we are free from the slavery of sin. In other words, the conviction of sin. Let me help you out with this because this is very important. Before you were a believer, it didn't matter whether you acknowledged your sin or not. It didn't make any difference. Okay? You might have every once in a while said, oh, well, that was really heinous and you felt bad because you offended somebody. But you didn't care whether God knew. You know how I know? Because when I lay in bed at night by myself, nobody else is around. It's just me, myself, and Jesus in the same room. And I'm fretting over the fact of my sin. That's how I know. Because I've either got to be a lunatic or I've got to be a follower of Christ. Because I'm talking to him in the shower. I'm talking to him in my bed. I'm talking to him in my room when nobody else is around. So I'm either a nut or I'm saved. Because if I'm faking all this, if this is all just a show, then when I get all by myself, there's no reason for me to talk to nobody, right? And so I'll lay away at bed. And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to exalt some kind of holiness in myself. I'm saying this because I want you to know about you. This is how I know. I'm thinking, my gosh, if I'm worried about this at like 2:30 in the morning, there ain't nobody else around. There must be a God. Because the old Sean, I could tell you what he was doing at 2:30 in the morning. And so Jesus says that we are free from the penalty of sin. And so here's the last part real quick. That's the freedom, right? There's an internal actualization. In other words, abiding in Jesus' word leads to the truth, and the truth sets us free to act out in our faith. That's the freedom. Okay? If love is a verb, if love is an action word, then faith is an action word as well. It means that we step out. We act like we're free. We act like we're Christians. We act like Jesus set us free. Because there's a difference. If you're guilty in your heart and you're pressed down and you do not believe in forgiveness, then you're not really free. You're just a slave. Here's where this comes into play. And I think this is why it's so important. Satan, and I used to say this quote all the time. I don't even remember where I heard it. Is when you're an unbeliever, Satan spends all of his time convincing you that you're a believer. And as soon as you put your trust in Christ, as soon as you become a believer, Satan spends all of his time convincing you that you're not. That's what he does. He has to. So here's the deal. Satan loves to put you back in prison if you're a Christian. Because here's what happens, right? You're going along one day, you're trying to be a good person, you love God, you love Jesus, and all of a sudden, bam, sin hits you right in the face. And you're in it. And you're in the middle of it. And so here's what you do. As a Christian, you go, oh my gosh, I didn't want to do that. That was horrible. That was terrible. That's not really what I want to do. And man, oh, what am I going to do? Woe is me. And the rest of the day, woe is me. I totally sinned this morning. Woe is me. Okay, do you see the prison? Satan's got you. You're playing in his territory. You're giving glory to Satan. Because God says that when he went to the cross, and he shed his blood, that he paid for all of your sins, past, present, and future. And God says that we do not flee to Satan in our pity, try to atone for our sin. He says we flee to Christ. Glory be to Jesus Christ who paid for this sin. We give it up. He says, confess it. Jesus is faithful to forgive it. If we fall into sin, gosh, that's not what I wanted to do. But you know what? Thanks be to God that you paid for that, baby, because I'm free. I am free. And so you paid every bit of that. It's sufficient and it's gone. God says if you confess your sin, that he takes it and he throws it behind his back into the depths of the ocean. Do you understand the enormity of that statement? Because I'm here to tell you right now, God is spirit and he has no back. But if God had a back, I could imagine how far and wide that thing is. And he says he takes your sin and he tosses it behind his back. That one just blew me away when I heard it. Because I'm thinking, if God had a back, think about it, right? God made the entire universe, it says in Psalm 33, with his finger. And so if God had a back, so when he says he will remember your sin no more, that's a reason for glory, not despair. Don't play in Satan's prison with that stuff. Man, I'm a terrible Christian. I keep making mistakes. I'm saying not, don't feel bad, but don't play there. That's why Jesus came and died, because you couldn't do it. And so we give glory to God in that, right? That's freedom. That's the freedom that Jesus is talking about here. If the Son sets you free, you are what? Free indeed. That's it. That's all there is to it. Man, you got to say, that's it. I'm out of here, baby. That's all. I've got it all. And so these are the marks, right? Unfortunately, these Pharisees, these Jews that Jesus has been talking to, they didn't continue in Jesus' word, right? They denied all the truth continuously. They continued to obey their true father, right? Jesus says, Satan. And all Satan wanted to do was keep them enslaved. And they thought they were free. Man, I remember thinking as an unbeliever that I was free. Because Christians would come to me and they would tell me that thing. Look, don't you know that you're a slave to sin? I'm a slave to nobody, man. I get to go wherever I want, do whatever I want. Okay? Can't tell me. But you know what? After I got saved and I saw the light of the gospel, I saw the glory of Christ, it was, I think, one of the things that was absolutely overwhelming to me was how small my cage was. I was like, oh my gosh. I thought I was free, but I wasn't free to do anything. And now I'm free for everything. Okay? As Christians, we're free from the guilt and the penalty of sin. You don't got to lay awake at night worrying about hell. It just doesn't occur to me. I don't care. I used to think movies like The Exorcist were scary until I read the Bible. And I was like, whatever, dude. God says you're free indeed, right? You're free from the binding power of Satan. You're free from the fear of death. And you're free from the guilt and the prison. Man, that's free. Jesus says, look, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And so we need to act like that as Christians. We need to act like that freedom matters. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. And, you know, what a tough teaching, Lord. You tell us that in our flesh, out of the Spirit, that we belong to Satan. And just nobody loves to, nobody's wants to hear that, Father God. But you tell us the truth because you love us so much. You don't want us to perish in our sins. Jesus said that three times. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. And so this morning as we looked at your word, Father God, let that just ring true to us. Maybe for unbelievers, Father, if somebody doesn't know you in here this morning, that they would reach out in the darkness and just plead with you, Father God, for salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And for those of us that are saved here today, help us to walk in that freedom and the freedom to know that because of those things that you have laid out, because of that test that you put before us this morning, that we would know that we are followers, lovers, and believers of you wholeheartedly. That's the best thing in the whole world. That's all I want. And so we thank you this morning, Jesus, that you are lifted high, that you are more glorious than we can imagine, and that you are more loving than we could ever know. And so it is you that we put out in front today. As we think about the rest of this day, Father God, let us put you out front, you at the top of the pile. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. And so we pray this in your precious name. Amen.